This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, get ready. Eight teams standing, two party crashers, of course, the Jags and Giants, as we welcome you in. Divisional weekend. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm guessing you're ready, my man. Here we go. This is the best weekend of the year. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I am ready. It's exciting. Yes, I think it will be the best weekend of the year. And we got a lot of good games, and I think we'll be able to understand more as we go into the next weekend, which is the greatest. To me, the Final Four weekend is the best, and then, you know, we get the Super Bowl. So we're on our way, Patrick. I'm excited about it.
Well, hopefully we can stick to football today. It's going to be tough coming up in about 29 minutes. Howard Eskin, a Philly radio legend, is going to join us, and we're going to try to keep the conversation up. My assumption is we're going to get to Joel Embiid at some point during the conversation.
Well, I think, let me just say this for the record. I think there are two people in the world that are objective about it, and it's Howard and I. So, you know, just you might want to wear a helmet during this segment. you might want to cover up. And, you know, we'll let it out there. I mean, look, they're playing well now. I don't know how anybody could complain about it. They won in Portland, which they typically don't do all the time. They beat the two Los Angeles teams, which they typically don't do on their court. So, you know, it is trending in the right direction. So it'll be anxious to see what Howard has to say, not only about that, but we know Howard also is the sideline reporter for the Eagles. So we'll get some insight into the Philadelphia mindset because, you know, it's funny. I was doing Russo yesterday, and Russo, he's just self-proclaimed himself a Philadelphia expert because he worked in the market, so he knows Philly fans perfectly, which, you know, I'm not sure you need to stay here more than 6 months to really understand the Philadelphia fans. But he made a great point yesterday. He said, hey, if this game's close at halftime or into the third quarter, those fans liable to turn. They're expecting a rout. And if you don't give them a rout early, they're going to be upset.
What's the mindset right now? Of course, the first one up today, Jacksonville, Kansas City. We'll get to that. A couple of shops have moved up to 9.5, as we discussed before the show. But the Giants and Philly right now, most shops showing 7.5. There's two questions coming in. The mindset, we'll follow up there with the fans. And then also the health of Hurts. Are we good now? Where do we stand with Hurts?
Well, I mean, they say he's good, right? And so you take their word for it. It's the same thing with Lane Johnson. I mean, here's a guy they say is good to go, but 3 weeks ago, he needed surgery. Those two things usually don't go hand in hand. There's a propensity to get re-injured again. So that's something to monitor tonight, how he holds up. Look, the last time they played, the giant defensive front, which is not, I would not call a stellar front. It's the strength of the Giants' defense, but I wouldn't say it's an elite front. They gave the Eagles' offensive line some trouble. And Kelsey has a great ability to understand what Martindale's trying to do, and he can reroute the protection. After the game, it's always interesting. You can really learn a lot about the respect that people have for one another. Kelsey and Martindale will have a conversation after the game about who got one another. Like, I thought I got you. No, you got this. And there's kind of that mutual respect that you see. It happens usually after they play. Like Aaron Rodgers will, you'll watch Aaron Rodgers go to a certain coach and kind of have a kind of an exchange because of the respect that he had preparing for the game. It's the same thing that I think Kelsey does as well.
Okay, Michael, well, plenty to do. We'll get to the Giants in Philly coming up in just a little bit. Also joining us today, Pat Leonard, who's been great on the show. He covers the Giants for the New York Daily News. He will join. Carl Johnson, of course, in his customary Saturday spot, is going to join as well. Thomas Gable, who just sent over his college basketball plays for VSiN Pros. But let's get started in Kansas City, where it's going to be 37 degrees. Okay, so snow showers, not necessarily showers, but potentially a mix of snow and rain. It's going to be light, shouldn't really impact the game. This number opened 8.5. It's been bet up to 9.5. Here comes Jacksonville. They've won 6 straight in Kansas City. They've won 10 of 11, of course.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a couple ways to look at this betting line that's moving in that direction. So we talked about a pre-show, right? That this is all about the protection that's needed in the teaser market, which has become so popular. So for fans at home, if you do a two-game teaser, you get 6 points, and you can move the line one way or the other in either direction depending on what you do. You know, a lot of people, they believe Kansas City is going to win. So they take the line down. But at 9, you're only taking it down to 3, so you're still into that field goal range, right? And so, but if it's at 8.5, you take it down. Now you're at 2.5. You're protected on key numbers. And I think that's ultimately what this line is moving in that direction, because I think more people are betting Jacksonville with the points. But, you know, in the last 7 games, you know, when Jacksonville is, they're 4-0-1 ATS against teams with a winning record. So they have done a good job of covering the spread. And if you watch the first game, you know, it was a 10-point game. It could have been a cover for Jacksonville. I'm not saying they could have won the game, because Kansas City has that ability to take it up another gear. However, that being said, I think Jacksonville probably played a C-minus game, and it was a 10-point game.
Yeah, you know, and good job with the teaser explanation. Again, when talking teases, we're talking standard teases of 6 points. So again, Michael just nailed it. When this opened 8.5, everybody jumped on Kansas City down to 2.5, and then they coupled it with Philly down from 7.5 to 1.5. Once we get to 9, teaser protection, you're not going through 3, and certainly 9.5 brings it down to 3.5 if you're teasing Kansas City. Michael, Jacksonville comes into this off the third biggest comeback in NFL playoff history. Remember, they were down 27-0. They lost the turnovers 5-0. Just incredible. By the way, they won the turnovers 3-0 earlier this year when they lost by 10 at Kansas City. So interesting symmetry there, or lack of symmetry there, with the turnover battles.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's what made the game. But again, as I keep harping on, and I don't know why this doesn't pick up more steam, missed field goals are turnovers. So when you look at this game and you say, well, you know, Kansas City was -3 and won the game, they really weren't. They were -1 because Jacksonville missed 2 field goals. So that's really kind of evened the game a little bit, right? I mean, the game could have been 20-13 at the half. It was 20-7 at the half. I mean, the first 6 drives of the last game, Jacksonville goes for an onside kick. They get it. They go basically 5 and out. They go 4 and out, 5 and out, and they punt. And then they punt. Then they miss a field goal before halftime. I mean, and then they score on the final drive of halftime. So they had 6 possessions away. You come away empty, and you only lose by 10. You can't afford to do that. I think knowing the way Peterson's operating, knowing his mindset, watching the tape of that game, he understood the possessions were critical. So I think you're going to see 4 down. I think he's going to go for it. I think he's going to be very aggressive in this game, which could lend itself to him being in the game in the fourth quarter, or it could lend itself to the Chiefs having a big lead in the fourth.
Jacksonville had 8 outright wins. That's the most underdog wins in a single season in the Super Bowl era. You just mentioned Doug Peterson. He's 6-0 ATS, 5-1 outright as a playoff dog, which is an outlier to say the least. Let's go to the Chiefs, though, quickly here. The Chiefs, that's 10 straight seasons over 500. 1 title in those 10 years, of course. They're looking to advance to their 5th straight conference championship game.
Remarkable.
It's really remarkable. And we talked about Reed.
I mean, people don't understand it. People don't understand. The measure of an organization, really, to me, is getting to the conference championship game. You know, we all focus on the Super Bowl, but to me, your career is measured by how many conference championship games you get to. The Final Four, right? Because something could happen in the game that the other team wins that maybe you're not. Like when we played Denver in a conference championship game in Denver, you know, we had a chance to win the game. We didn't. Was Denver the better team? They went on to win the Super Bowl that year because of their great defense and Von Miller and Peyton managing the game. But, you know, I think if we played that game at home, we were the better team. But I think that's the mark of it. You get to the Final Four, that's it. And Kansas City with Andy Reid. I mean, look, this is Raider-ish, right? I mean, one of the things that I marveled about was a little kid growing up about the Raiders was how many conference championships they got to and they didn't break through. I mean, Andy Reid in Philadelphia, a lot of conference championship games couldn't break through. I mean, the guy has a great ability to get his team to the Final Four.
Okay, Andy Reid, 28-6 straight up off a bye, 21-13. By the way, at home, Andy Reid after a bye, 18-2 straight up, 12-8 ATS. Let's go ahead and do this. We've got plenty of guests, so we'll get the Lombardi line up here and juxtapose it to the market. The number right now has jumped up to 9, 9.5 at most shops with Kansas City laying it. What's the Lombardi line here?
Yeah, I had this as a 4.49 game. I think I did. Yeah, I had it at 4.47, Patrick. I think it's a lot closer game than people think. Only because, you know, the area where you can't really put into the number is Trevor Lawrence, right? How will he play today? How will he handle the pressure? Spagnuolo will come with a lot of pressure. How will he handle the ability to make throws when it's critical that he has to make a throw? So I think ultimately that's going to be the key. If Lawrence elevates his play and really takes it to another level, and I'm not talking about the first half of the last game, but I'm talking about the way he played against Tennessee, the way he played against Dallas. If he plays like that, they'll be in this game. Now, will they win? I don't think so, because I think the Chiefs are going to have the ball last, and I think that Mahomes is really good in these situations. But to me, that's going to be the key to the game. Can he play at that level he needs to play at?
And take a look at the total. It's interesting. At home this year, Kansas City 6-2 to the under, Michael. That total right now is sitting 53 at most shops. I mentioned it's going to be cold. Maybe not much of an impact from the weather if you can deal with 37 degrees. But Kansas City, an under team. And again, they don't cover. It's interesting. They're an under team and don't cover at home.
That's the misconception about Kansas City, is everybody thinks they're the greatest show on turf. But with Pacheco running the ball, they kind of eat some clock. And the under's more in play. The last, since their bye week, they've only scored 30 points three times. They've only scored in the 30. They've 34 and under. This game is going to be somewhere in the 20s, both teams. To get the over, it's going to have to get to the 30s, I think.
Jacksonville and the Giants preseason 150-1 to win the Super Bowl, which is wild. They're in the divisional round. Okay, so you heard the number as far as the Lombardi line. A little bit of wiggle there for Jacksonville. Plenty more on Kansas City, Jacksonville. Coming up, though, we'll shift. We'll go Giants, Philly, next here at Lombardi Line, Divisional Weekend.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the divisional round. Of course, it's the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a good start to your weekend. It's going to be fun. You got a doubleheader today, Michael Lombardi. You got a doubleheader tomorrow. How about this? This is the first time since 1997 that three teams from the same division have made it to the divisional round of the postseason. Of course, the Giants, Philly, and your boys, the Dallas Cowboys, the home of the Dallas
Cowboys,
of course, is VSiN. How about them Cowboys? Okay, so let's get into this. Go ahead, please.
You know, it's funny. We used to call it the NFC least. I'm not sure it's because it's a good division, that there are three really good teams. I think Dallas is a really good team, and I think Philly's a really good team. I think the Giants are a really well-coached team that have maximized the schedule and have maximized their talent level. And that happens every year. There's always a team that gets into this that has that schedule that they take advantage of, and the Giants certainly did. And now that you're in winner go, you won in a single elimination tournament, all it takes is playing your best on that day.
Yeah, and the NFC East is currently 29-16-1 ATS versus non-divisional opponents, so they've been awesome in this spot. Well, not necessarily this spot, of course, with Philly and the Giants. And by the way, the Giants were also 150-1 in the preseason to win the Super Bowl, so just a great job by Daboll. I'll set you up on the number, and we'll get into this cap. We've got Howard Eskin joining in about 10.5 minutes here. Let's go Giants. Philly, number right now sitting 7.5 and a total of 48.
Yeah, my number for this game was 7-3-1, and I think that you have to kind of break this down. So they played twice already this year. The last game of the season didn't matter. They started Davis Webb. It mattered for Philly, but Hurts, they didn't run Hurts in that game. So they weren't as concerned about Hurts making an impact. I think they tried to just win the game as easily as they could. They got the lead, and then they kind of put it away and they didn't really want to, they didn't want to get anybody else hurt. So I think you got to take that with a grain of salt, that game. The game in the Meadowlands was the interesting game because that game got away from the Giants. That was a game that the Giants really didn't play well. They probably played their worst game of the season, and they weren't able to, they got behind, which they can't do. And once they got behind, they fell further behind and they had too many missed mistakes. I mean, they drop kick a punt. The next play, touchdown. They gave up a 31-yard touchdown pass, a 44-yard touchdown pass. And when they went into halftime behind 24-7, that game was over. And they couldn't really slow down Philly. I mean, The Philly had 31 carries for 253 yards. Miles Sanders was the difference in the game. Hurts only carried it seven times, but he averaged 11 yards a carry and scored a touchdown. So this is a matchup that's challenging. Now, here's the reality. In that game, Leonard Williams didn't play. Adoree Jackson didn't play. They didn't have Jarrett Davis on their roster at this point. So they are a little better defensively. And so I think if you're Wink Martindale, you've got to be able to have enough speed on the field to handle the and set the edge inside out. It's a challenging game for them. They're just not good enough, but they're playing their best football right now with Thibodeau, Leonard Williams now back in the defensive line, Dexter Lawrence. They really give Philly's front some trouble. And early in this game, we're going to find out if Hurts is healthy because they're going to run him early. They're going to run him early in the game, and they're going to show the Giants, hey, we're not worried about his health. He's going to play. And they're going to be in their six-back offense. And I think that's ultimately. Now, the Giants have to control the football. I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to play this game like Washington played it on Monday night. They got to have it 37 minutes and hope the Eagles and get a couple turnovers, get a couple extra possessions, and play great in the red zone.
Both teams want to run it, Michael. The Giants and Eagles have the two best rush offenses left in the postseason, and we're both top five in the regular season. So, as you mentioned, you know, this is, again, familiarity abound. Third meeting between these two teams over the past 7 weeks. Week 14, Philly won 48-22, as you perfectly laid out there. They covered as a 7-point road favorite. But then in week 18, Philly 22-16 won, but did not cover. Remember, that was a 17-point number because Giants sat everybody.
Yeah, and I don't know what that game means because I think sometimes in those games, you know, the other team is just trying to get through the game to get healthy, to get that bye, and once they got the lead in that game, they took it over. But this, that being said, the Eagles have 70 sacks this year. 60 of them come from the defensive front. This game is going to require the Giant defensive front to play really well, offensive line to play really well. I mean, Daniel Jones, they got sacked seven times in the game. When they brought Tyrod Taylor off the bench, he got sacked three times. So they have to protect here. They have to protect. I mean, they have to be able. They ran the ball the first game. They ran the ball really well in the first game. The problem was they got behind. You know, they had that Eagles second quarter, which we know has been the strength of the Eagles offense all year, is get that lead in the second quarter. And they go into halftime up 24-7. They can't do that. They have to be able to stay attached. And the longer they stay attached, the more worry is going to creep into the Philadelphia mindset, and can they pull this out? Because as we've said all year, you know, they haven't really been in one of those kind of games. I mean, I know they played Indianapolis. That was a close game. They won it early in the year. They played Arizona in a close game. They won on the final drive. But now we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about that this is it. Winner go home. Loser go home. And I think that if they can keep this game close into the fourth, that's been the Giants' mantra all season.
We talked about Daniel Jones. He's excelled on the road as an underdog in his career. On the road, 18-7 ATS as a dog, 27-15 ATS. So, question for you about Jones. What we saw last week, and again, Minnesota and Philly are a different animal on defense, but what we saw last week, do you expect that same type of game plan and performance from Jones to carry over?
Yeah, I think we're definitely getting a six. I think this is this game will be the six back a game. Both teams will run the six-back offense because Daniel Jones, he had six carries in the last game, you know, and he was able to make plays in that game. I know he only had four carries. I'm sorry, you know, but they ran him on a couple of the RPO games. I think he's got to run it in this game. I mean, I think he definitely has to run it. Remember now, Daniel Jones carried the ball 120 times this year for 708 yards. Like, I think people lose sight of that. You know, and per game he averaged 44.3, and he had 7.5 carries a game. So he's part of their offense, and he's got to be a huge part of their offense today as they try to manipulate this Eagle because they're going to get zone. The Eagles are going to play a lot of four. They're going to rush four. They're going to play their zone. They're going to play their two. They're going to play their weak safety role, all those things that they like to do. If the Eagles think they can play man-to-man and win against the receivers, I think it plays into the Giants' hands because even though the Giants don't have great receivers, I think the Eagles' corners are a liability in man-to-man.
The Giants have been a great story overall, but the Giants have been an amazing story for bettors, Michael. The Giants are 11-2 ATS as a dog. That's the most ATS covers as an underdog by any team in the Super Bowl era, including the postseason. Also, New York, 8-1 ATS on the road this season with five straight covers. I mean, it's remarkable what Daboll's done with this team because the talent disparity with the Giants and Philly today is big. There's a big chasm there.
Yeah, I think to me what Daboll has done since the first week against Tennessee until this weekend is he's played the game. Every game he's played like a playoff game. He's slowed the game down. He's tried to run the ball. His goal has been to get the game into the fourth quarter. His team has been very good situationally. They're fifth-best team in the league on third-down defense. They're the fifth-best team in red zone defense. So he's tried to slow the game down as much as possible. And by doing that, he's been able to keep himself in it, and he's watched the other team lose the game. He's watched the other team kind of self-destruct. And that's been huge. You know, that's been huge. He's had, you know, multiple games where they don't turn the ball over and they don't really create a lot of turnovers on defense. So, you know, they've been able to stay within the game, within the framework, and get that game into the fourth quarter and then see what happens. And he's done a great job. And Daniel Jones, they don't extend him. They're not going to say to Daniel Jones, we want you to throw it 50 times today. They're never doing that. They're not going to do what Mike McDaniel did, go into Buffalo with a third-string quarterback and throw it 45 times. They're going to run it, they're going to slow the game down, and they're going to try to make this a fourth quarter game and see what happens.
There you go. Okay, Michael, so this number opened with Philly 7.5 at most shops. It's sitting 7.5. Let's reiterate the Lombardi line for Giants-Eagles.
7-3-1. You know what's funny, though, Patrick? So the Giants go out to Seattle before their bye week. The Giants beat Jacksonville in one of those kind of classic Giants games. Now, they threw the ball in that game, but they ran it really well in that game. Then they go out to Seattle. They're 6-1 going out to Seattle, and Seattle just didn't have it. Their special teams, they fumbled twice with the punt return game. And then they come off the bye week. And after the bye week, if I were to say to you, in those nine games after the bye, how many wins they had? They only had three. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that's interesting. They're trending in the wrong way, but yet because they beat Minnesota and they played Philly so close, they're trending in the right way, right? So they beat Houston barely off the bye. Houston had the ball in the second half. They never punted. They had it in the red zone. They come back. They lose to Detroit, lose to Dallas. They tie Washington. They get killed by Philly. They beat Washington down there. They lose a tough one to Minnesota. And then they lose the last game of the year. They beat the Colts. And then they, you know, so that since the bye, they haven't played great. But for some reason, one playoff win creates tremendous momentum.
You know, so much has been made of Daboll and Kafka on the offensive side, but just all around, what Martindale's done with his defense is incredible. It's really, there's five teams that need a head coach right now, and it just shows you the importance of making that right hire. Because look at the Giants.
Look at the Bengals with Lou Amoromo. He deserves one too.
From desperation to the divisional round for the New York Football Giants, put your seatbelt in, buckle up. Radio legend Howard Eskin joins us next.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, I'll do this quick. We got to get to Lombardi and Eskin. $9.99 right now, introductory offer. You can become a VSiN Pro. You get everything we offer. We're not going to do it again, so sign up now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Of course, WIP in Philly, the sports radio legend in Philly. Howard Eskin joins us here on the Lombardi Line. Fox 29, he's going to be on the sideline for a divisional playoff game today in Philly. But what was the off-air conversation about? It was about Tobias freaking Harris and Daryl Morey.
It wasn't
as
all
we
about
say
Morris,
hi.
We covered Howard, thank you for being here. You know, every time I see you, I feel like, you know, I have somebody who sees it the same way I do. I appreciate you. Thank you, Howard.
It's my pleasure. No, the bigger stiff is Father Time. I mean, James Harden. But let's move on.
Yeah.
We shall. The Philadelphia. Look out for a podcast with Lombardi and Eskin about the 76ers. That's what I'll say here. Okay. Surprised with the year from the Eagles. Let's just start with an overview on the Eagles, Howard.
They're a good football team. And now, other than Avante Maddox, everybody is back. And I'll say healthy. Lane Johnson, I concerned myself with a little bit, although watching him in practice, as little as we get to see in practice because they don't let us see that much. He looked like he was moving okay. He says he's okay. I didn't see any discomfort. And you just want to make sure if he stays physically good enough, you know, that doesn't hurt the offensive line. Avante Maddox is missed, but when C.J. Gardner-Johnson came back, that kind of helped in that regard. And Jalen Hurts, despite all this social media nonsense, it's not social and it's not media, but despite all that, he's fine. Now, he still has to have a good game, whether he's healthy or not. He still has to end no turnovers. But they're a good football team. Their offensive line's intact. Wide receivers obviously are good. Dallas Goedert's now got some games under his belt after his injury. And defensively, obviously, they rush the passer really well, and they don't have to blitz that much. They're a good football team. The Giants are better, I know that, but they're just a better football team. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think that's right, Howard. I think they are the better football team. But I want to ask you about Hurts. I mean, what's your sense of how much will they run their six-back offense today, or will they try to rely on Miles Sanders as he did in the game up in the Meadowlands where he dominated and they ran as a team for 230-some yards?
Okay, now let me just put some perspective to that. They threw, in that Giants game, the Eagles threw 24 passes in the first half. 17 for 24, I believe, was the number. They got a big lead, and then they started to run the footballs. What you do, eat up the clock, you have a lead. So that's where they got most of those yards in that first Giants game, rushing the football, was after they had the big lead, after they got the lead by passing the football. You need to pass to score, and obviously you need to score to win. So will they run Jalen Hurts and use some more RPOs? Yes, I think they will. And here's why. They didn't score in the red zone the last game, but they knew they were going to win the game. The Giants didn't play anybody, and I get all that. And the reality is, if you kind of project it ahead, the Giants knew that if they beat Minnesota, and Minnesota is the biggest fraud of a 13-win team I've ever seen, and I thought they would win all along. They beat them. The Eagles knew that could happen. And why do you put out your plays when you know you're going to win the game against mostly backups? So I think that was misleading. They tried to protect them physically and didn't want to give up any of the plays. I think you're going to see more of the RPOs tonight. You're going to run the football, but you got to pass the football to score. And if they get in the mid-20s, they beat the Giants. And that's I think that's what you've got to look at. Yeah, will they run Miles Sanders? I'm sure they will. But I think you're going to see more passes and more RPOs than you obviously saw in the last game, which really was kind of irrelevant.
Howard Eskin, radio legend there in Philly, WIP, Fox 29. He's going to be at the game tonight. 7.5 is the number. You know how prevalent it's become, Howard, to talk about the number. 7.5 is the number with Philly laying it. Thoughts on that?
My thoughts are it came out immediately at 7.5 after the Giants and those New York people were all excited. Oh, the Giants are hot. Hot. They went 7-2 and then won three games the second half of the season. So how hot are they? They beat a bad Minnesota team. The number tells you something. It's not called gambling if it wasn't gambling. I'd lay the number only because it looks too easy to take the 7.5. And there's numbers that go both ways. Teams that play two straight road games in the playoffs are 10-37 since 1990. Does that mean anything? I don't know, but it's hard to play on the road continually, and the Giants are playing their third straight road game. If the Eagles don't turn the ball over, they don't lose the game, and they cover. So I would hesitantly, I don't like laying over a touchdown, but I would lay the 7.5 reluctantly. The second week, you almost got to look at all the favorites. After last week, I kind of looked at most of the underdogs. So that's kind of the way I've looked at it, and it's kind of played out that way over time of the history. That's why it's important to get a bye, and that's why the Eagles get a bye and Kansas City got a bye, obviously, and I like both those teams.
Howard, Jonathan Gannon, you know, he's up for some head coaching interviews, but when you really break him down, you know, when he plays his zone, teams complete a lot of passes. Last year and against six really good quarterbacks, you know, Dak twice and all, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, all guys that can throw the football, there was only 36 incomplete passes in the game. Do you think he's going to try to play more man today, or do you think he's going to let Daniel Jones have some easy throws and rely on his rush?
You know, a lot of times defensive and good defensive coaches have done this. They've kind of just make sure they don't get in the end zone. So it's a little soft getting there. he's not going to blitz as much. He blitzes occasionally, and people in Philadelphia always want him to blitz. But they get so much pressure from those four defensive linemen. I think he's going to do things a little bit differently than he did. And I think man would be a good idea. And he's a smart guy, even though people in Philadelphia rip him. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's got to do. And he saw what happened last week. Those passes for him last week were just too easy against Minnesota. So, Mike, I do think there's probably going to be a little more man than he's played in the past, just so he doesn't have those easy throws. You want him to throw the ball, but you want him to throw the ball into coverage, not into open receivers.
Sounds like you like the number. Kansas City lane 9.5, Howard. However, Jacksonville, a guy you covered, Doug Peterson, you surprised to see him in the divisional round year one with Jacksonville?
No, I'm not, because he's got a quarterback. A quarterback is so important. And Trevor Lawrence, certain coaches help quarterbacks. And I don't know who their offensive coordinator is. I think Mike Kafka has really helped Daniel Jones. And I don't know who they are, but once Trevor Lawrence took a step forward, that made it better. I didn't think they'd come back from 27-0. I can't believe that Staley still has that head coach still has a job with the Chargers after that mess. You know, and you're really kind of lost in the shuffle. When he scored that last touchdown of the first half to make it 27's not a good number. Why doesn't he go for two? That's another thing, but you got to think ahead for that, because 27, because they're still going to have to try to score touchdowns, Jacksonville, to win, and 4 sevens is 28 last time I checked. So why did he only go for one? He made so many mistakes. I didn't expect Jacksonville would come back, but I'm happy they did. But I think the end is coming, and I think it could be coming in a big win for Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't cover the number a lot this year. They haven't, but I like them against the number here.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. They played a great way, but this Mahomes, this red zone production, and look, and as you know, Andy Reid, I mean, in these situations, I mean, he can't take his foot off the gas because of what happened last week.
I don't think he will.
Go ahead, Howard. Go ahead, Howard.
No, I don't think he will.
We took a lesson from today, Michael Lombardi. It's not social and it's not media. That's for the kids. And by the way, Howard, can you show us the ring you're wearing? Is that a Super Bowl ring that you're wearing today?
Yeah, it is. I get killed in Philadelphia. Broadcast, I'm part of the broadcast team. I'm the sideline reporter. I get killed. Well, why did he get a Super Bowl ring? Every team that wins a championship always gets rings for their broadcast team. Our producer of the Eagles broadcast also got a ring. So I get killed, and, you know, when I'm here at the Borgata, I wear it because people kind of like to see it. So, you know, hopefully there's another one, and I don't have the right to get one, but I would imagine that they would do the same thing again. So, yeah, it is a Super Bowl ring.
Well, it's, you don't have to justify it.
You won't get an NBA. You and I will not get a 76er ring. Let's just close on that. That will never happen in my lifetime. Two things won't happen. I won't find out who killed JFK, and the Sixers won't win a title. That I know.
Correct.
Yes.
Howard Eskin and Michael Lombardi, look out for the collaboration, the 76ers podcast on the way. Of course, WIP, he's a legend. It was an honor.
We didn't even
Thank
talk
you,
about
Howard.
Doc Rivers. Can you imagine that? We didn't even hit Doc Rivers yet. Oh,
wait
my
a minute.
God.
Glenn
that's
Rivers.
Well, you can find him on the
Doc
golf course.
Philadelphia.
Next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, turn a loss into a win with BetMGM. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any pro football game today. If all the legs of the parlay hit except one, you're going to get your stake back and free bets up to $25. It's a great deal from the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. Check it out, the one-game parlay wager. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. visit BetMGM.com for more terms and conditions. So again, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi. Thank you again to Howard Eskin for joining us. From one legend to another, we head to the Bayou and say hi to Carl Johnson. He runs the race and sports book down at the Beau Rivage. And we should start with a very happy birthday to Mrs. Jick Jack. Of course, your mom turns 85 today. Happy birthday.
85 today, yeah. You know, and you know, she's gotten into this gambling here in the last few years. So she had asked me the other day. She said, "Hey, what's my total?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "What's my over under?" I said, "Well, let's set it at 100." She goes, "All right." She said, "I want $20 on the over."
All right, that's wonderful. Good for her. God bless her.
Yeah,
that is wonderful, Carl. You and I were discussing during the break. A crazy day at the Beau. I mean, you mentioned we're going to talk to Thomas Gable with the Giants in Philly. That's going to be nuts. But already busy there down at the Beau Rivage. How's the action been on these early games?
Yeah, real good. Yeah, I would. I would love to be at Borgata watching that Giants-Phillies crowd. But, yeah, we got a crowd of our own. The handle's been extremely well all year, really, and for these playoffs. And we got a lot going on today. We've got a lot of college baskets. These football games, UFC tonight, so it's a big day for us and everybody throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's and then all these college games, you know, what's going on? And so when you have college basketball, what is the number one college? I mean, obviously Alabama's having a great year, but what is your shop's favorite college team? Is it LSU? Is it Alabama? What is it?
Yeah, it's the SEC in general, Mike. You know, they just, these people down here love the SEC. It's a majority SEC crowd. So, and right now they're really on Alabama, you know, because Alabama's playing so well. So, yeah, they stick to the local teams pretty much.
Okay, let's dig into the divisional round. Are they laying it with Kansas City? And what's the number? Is it 9.5? Let's start there, Jick Jack.
Yeah, opened here 8.51.5. We're at 9 right now, 53. Yeah, so they are laying it. They're taking the Chiefs. We're getting about 70% of the money, and about 55-56% of the ticket count is on the Chiefs right now. This is also a heavily teased game. They've got them teased up with the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, they went up with the Eagles. So basically, they took the Giants up, or they took the Eagles down, or they.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they got them with the Eagles. They took the Eagles down. So we're looking at Chiefs down and Eagles down.
Yeah, and so where do you think your number will close today on both these games?
You know, I think once we get to around kickoff, I think we'll probably close. And it's just a guess, but I think we're going to get some late Jaguar money here. You know, that's the Chiefs have a little hard time covering. The public is a little bit more educated now. We got a lot of Jaguar fans in, so I think we'll see some Jaguar money. I think we'll close around 8.5, Mike.
Okay, so they're laying a big – Jick Jack Johnson joining us here on the Lombardi Line. So they're laying a big price at Arrowhead. Are they laying the number at Philly? I've got 7.5. Where'd you open? Where are you sitting?
Yeah, so for us, we opened 7.5, 48. We're at 7.5, 48. It's been stale all week. The Sharps hit this game. They took the Giants plus 7.5 early on, and it stayed there. For us, they're betting us the Giants. Looks like 68% of the money, 70% ticket count is on that Giants, and the line is staying stale. And it just for me, you know, I think this game here is going to be won or lost on the front lines. I mean, the Eagles could definitely cover this spread if the Giants can't contain that Eagles running game, I think. So we'll see. But it's a tough game. I like the 7.5 here. I was really interested when I seen that hook, and it stayed there all week.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's strange about this game is there's so much. Are you getting a lot of two-way action on this game, on this one, Jick Jack? Because it seems like you know, everybody's betting the Giants, but the number's not moving off of 7.5.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that we're getting more Giants money than anything, but one of the things that I thought about, my number on this game, and look, I know my numbers are off sometimes, it's just an opinion, but my number on this game was Eagles 4.5. And the more, you know, we had projected this game to be heavily teased with the Kansas City game. And if you stop and think about it, if we would have hung my number at 4.5, this thing would have been teased down. You would have been actually getting Eagles at like +1.5, +2. I don't think the books would want that. So I think that's why there's a little tax on this line at 7.5, just for those teasers.
Yeah, I've been saying that. Patrick and I have been talking about it all week. I mean, there's a teaser element to this line that's deceptive in terms of trying to predict line movement. I mean, people think the line's moving because people are betting the Giants or betting the Eagles, when in fact it's really a protection against the teasers, which to me have become, I mean, you can't go on social media without everybody's teasing every game. It seems like nobody wants to pick the game. Everybody wants to tease it.
That's right. And like last week's a perfect example, these exotic bets, these parlays and the teasers. I mean, that's most of what every book writes. We knew this was going to be a heavily teased game. That's why you see the number. Like last week, you know, everybody on parlays had money line parlays with the Bengals, the Bills, and San Francisco. Everybody. And, you know, so we lose all those tickets because all those teams went outright. Not all of them covered the number. That helped us. But we lost a lot of money just in those money line parlays, and we was able to contain it to where I think we only lose like 3% for the week. So, but that's what we're facing. This is a big teaser parlay market here.
Just to note, BetMGM has ticked up to 8 with the Eagles laying it, so it looks like shops are moving up in that matchup. Let's peek ahead with Carl Johnson.
I see eights, Patrick, coming in really pretty regularly here in New Jersey and different shops all over. Even at Circa, I see an 8.
Yep, absolutely. Let's peek ahead to tomorrow. Actually, I'm seeing some 6s with Buffalo. Most shops still 5.5 Cincy. Where are you at, Carl?
Yeah, opened here 4.5 and 50.5. We are at 5.5 and 49 now. They're betting us Burrow. They're going to bet the Bengals here. It's just it's a regional thing with him. 65% of the money, 75% ticket count is on the Bengals here at +4.5 or +5.5 now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I keep looking at this number and I'm saying, everybody's going to tease. Now at 6, Cincinnati's now it's a pick 'em if you tease it back down. There's some 6 out there. There's a lot of 5.5s. So to me, I think this is moving because of that teaser element too. I know that Cincinnati's offensive line is struggling, but when you have a week to prepare to work around what you have to deal with in the game, it isn't like you're going against the Buffalo Bills or the fearsome foursome on defense. I mean, that defensive front doesn't exactly scare you without Von Miller in there.
Yeah, well, if you stop and think about last year, what Burrow did with that offensive line he had last year. I mean, he got all the way to the Super Bowl. They improved it in the offseason. Now he's got 3 of those guys out. But my point is that he gets the ball out quick. Yeah, he's accustomed to playing with maybe not a so good offensive line. So this game's going to be interesting, you know. I think there's going to be an upset. Or maybe 2 upsets in these 4 games that we're going to witness in the next 2 days. So I think they've got a good chance to knock this Bills team off if they can move the football.
Okay, Carl, final one, Dallas, San Francisco. Are you laying 4 right now with San Francisco at the bow?
Yeah, open 4 and 46. We're at 4 and 46.5. They're betting us the Cowboys, Patrick. You know, 60% of the money and tickets is on the Cowboys. I was on the Cowboys big last week, my biggest bet of the year. I don't feel the same way about this game this week, but I'm leaning San Francisco here. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Dallas will give them a game, but I do think that offense for San Francisco is, you know, is hard. And the first drive of the game they played last year in Dallas, they went right down the field. Connor Williams at center now, at guard. That could be a problem against this team.
Okay. Most importantly, divisional round menu. What's on the menu today, Carl Johnson?
You know, it's like we talked, it's my mom's 85th birthday, so in observance of that, it's spaghetti and meatballs, baby, with a loaf of French bread.
Oh, man.
It can't beat Spaghetti and meatballs. Mom's spaghetti. Carl Johnson, Beau Rivage, Chick Jack Johnson on Twitter. Thank you, Carl. Have a great day.
Thanks, Carl.
You too, guys. Good seeing you. Okay. Y'all have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. That's Carl Johnson. Coming up next, Michael's division round power rankings. We'll get into the eight next here at Lombardi Line.